Bob McCallum Podcast. It's brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download the Bet Rivers online casino and sportsbook app today.
Yeah, you got the fire going.
Well, so do you in the background. Yeah, that's why I put mine on. Wanted to see how long it would take you to notice it.
About 3 minutes.
So people that are listening to this as a podcast have no idea what we're talking about, but we can see each other. Shannon has had a fireplace going on one of his television monitors for the entire show, so I thought I'd put mine on.
Sure.
There you go. Hockey today, a team at the top, a team near the bottom. Ottawa and Boston. Bruce Garriock of the Sun Group in Ottawa and KP DuPont joins us from Boston, and we'll do that after this. Hi, this is Bob McCowan for BetRivers.com. Hey, if you're looking for a sports book or casino app, you should check out the BetRivers Sports and Casino app today. Play all of your favorite casino games for real money anywhere and anytime. Plus, get in the action with each sports game with hundreds of sports betting options. And get ready to feel like a VIP, because you'll earn both loyalty level points and bonus store points on every real money wager you make. You must be 19 plus, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, contact Connex Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 or speak to an advisor free of charge. BetRivers.com. Hockey, it would appear, is on the agenda today.
McCown, well, look Shannon, at this. Look you. At this motley crew. Holy hey, we should name a band that. That would be a good name for a band.
Bruce, oh, Bare Naked Ladies. I think Gary would like that.
That's a vision I don't want to conjure up with this group. Okay.
Do I have a second?
You do not want to think about that.
Bruce Garriock in Ottawa, KP DuPont in Boston. Senators sale kicks into higher gear, at least today. What today's the day that people can take a look at the books? Bruce, is that the deal?
Yes, supposedly the due diligence website opens today by Galateo Sports Partners in New York. And it's interesting, guys, because when Eugene Melnyk bought this team in 2003, Bob, there were only two parties interested, Eugene Melnyk and Nelson Peltz, the Snapple billionaire, and Peltz wanted to get in to move the team. And Eugene at that time was the only one who wanted to keep the team in Ottawa. Well, now this isn't only going to be a hockey deal, it's going to be an arena deal. And my understanding is, and I think I was even low on the number, is that more than 20 partners or 20 groups have called Galateo and signed NDAs to get into that website today. Now, this today will separate the pretenders from the contenders, but clearly there's a lot of interest in this team, not only because of the team, but because of the fact that they have a memorandum of understanding with the National Capital Commission here in Ottawa to build a downtown arena. And I think people look at this as a very exciting project.
What do you think that number is for that part of the contract? I was thinking around $200 million, Bruce.
Well, you know, that's the real question, right? Like, what is, you know, is the team worth $675 million and then you add $200 million for the arena?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of get the feeling that given the amount of interest there is in this team, that it's going to go for somewhere between $800 million to $1 billion. You know, the Pittsburgh Penguins sold for $875 million or so. The Nashville Predators sold for $775 million. Just given the amount of interest. But whoever gets in here is going to have to partner up, because if the UBS arena in Long Island costs $1 billion, that's what a downtown arena in Ottawa is going to cost, you know, just given the cost of where everything is gone right now.
So we're talking something slightly less than $1 billion for the team and then another $1 billion for the rink, correct?
Well, exactly. You know, and now you are going to be able to get money out of the Canadian Tire Center, depending on what you do with that. From what I've been told, land in this area, and I think the Canadian Tire Center is on something like 400 acres. I could be wrong on that, but those are going for $1 million an acre right now, between 750 to $1 million an acre Canadian. So you're going to be able to reap some benefits out of selling that land in Canada, but you know, they need some big pockets in here if this is going to be reality. And the league has made one of the things you have to do if you buy this team is you also have to agree to build the arena. So there's no, both are tied together.
I just don't know whether, I mean, do you guys think that this team or this situation is worth that kind of money? When you look around, I mean, the Ottawa franchise has had troubles. They've had trouble selling seats.
And well, let's face it, Bob, they're going to part of you buy this team. You, I mean, God bless our friend Eugene Melnyk, but Eugene had debts. This team has debts. How do those get paid in amongst all of this stuff?
Well, I assume if you buy the franchise, you have to pay the debt. Do you not?
Well, doesn't the
again, what's the price? Yeah.
But wouldn't the debt just come out of his estate? You know what I mean? Like,
well, you'd have to negotiate that, Bruce. Really? I mean, that would end up being that's the part of the puzzle people aren't mentioning very much. Is
what was it? What was his buying price all those years?
Oh, well, that doesn't matter.
It'll factor. What was it?
130 million US for the team and the rink.
Okay. So let's say he's picked up another 70 million in debt. So that I'm going to guess there's 200 million. I mean, is that fair?
Oh,
I think there's more than that.
People seem to think it's closer to three, but you can only, and I think sometimes people guess too high because isn't that how the New Jersey Devils lost their team, was that their debt ratio got too high? I mean, the league will only allow you to go to a certain debt ratio. So I don't think it's as high as anybody thinks it is, but I don't think it's low either, Kevin.
But I think that's one of the key things. Now, we've heard lots of names, Bruce. You've been right on top of this story all along. There's the fancy name, which is Ryan Reynolds, which is he's going to be, it sounds like he's going to want to partner with somebody to maybe be a face like he is with his soccer team in England or in Wales. But the name I'm not hearing is John Ruddy. And I keep wondering why John Ruddy's not involved in this again after the lawsuit between he and Eugene's company gets settled.
I don't think that he has the wherewithal to be in this project. You know, I think,
but he was going to be in the project to build the building the last time.
Yeah. But I think that those circumstances have changed. I think he's taken a hard hit from the, pandemic. A lot of the shopping centers and whatnot and real estate that he owns, a lot of those buildings are empty. I also think that, he's got to get that lawsuit settled. And quite frankly, here, this is just my take. Is the National Hockey League going to sell a team to a guy who's suing the old owner? We all know that Gary Bettman controls this world, and I don't think he'd have anything to do with that. And the other thing is, John Ruddy and his partners with the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group are currently asking the league for... they're currently asking the city of Ottawa for $300 million to build a junior hockey rink here. So, I think he's got money in other places. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Would that ask of a junior hockey rink continue to exist with a new NHL rink downtown?
That I don't. Yes, probably because it's a smaller venue. What they want to do is they've got this Lansdowne Live area here. Bob, and what they want to do is take the hockey rink, which they didn't have the money to renovate when they did the football stadium. They want to knock down this part of the stands and make the hockey rink smaller into a 6,000 seat rink. And the 67s have tried playing in a large venue and it just does not work.
Right.
And that they'd be better off in that surrounding. Let's put it that way.
Well, being better off and being economically able to afford to do that are two entirely different things. That's all I'm saying is if you're going to build a new rink, you know, junior hockey teams have tried playing in bigger facilities. Of course, years and years ago, the Marlies and St. Mike's both played at Maple Leaf Gardens.
Oh, yeah, but Bob, different time.
I know that's a lot. Time, I know. Different. I understand that.
The fascination is when Eugene bought – so I was working at MLSE when Eugene bought the Senators. And at the same time he was trying to buy the Senators, he was trying to buy Maple Leaf Gardens because he wanted his hockey team – this was before renovations. He wanted to put his hockey team – his junior hockey team at Maple Leaf Gardens for the, you know, for the romantic reason that you talked about, Bob.
Yeah.
The fascination was there was no way the board at MLSE was going to sell to Eugene Melnyk for fear that if he did get the Senators, they'd bring him to Toronto and they'd have no control of it. And then there'd be two teams within, 3.5 kilometers of each other at Air Canada Center at that point and MLG.
I find it so interesting, though, that a team like Ottawa that has had so many problems with attendance, well, with a million different things, is as hot an item as they are, apparently, if there are 20 interested parties. KP, don't you think that's a curious thing?
Well, as I recall, I mean, you know, there's always some curiosities with any finances, but when they made it to the Cup final, I remember attendance doing quite well then. So I like many American markets, I suppose, if you're winning or if you're in it or if you've sold the hope well enough, then you'll get a crowd. But what I think the fascination with any buyer these days is what's been in existence here for the better part of 15 years, which is cost certainty on the payroll side. It's very intriguing to get in these because the most important part of the business equation is what are you paying the working help? You can always do better at the gate, I suppose. You can always do better with corporate sponsorship, season ticket sales, trying to improve the product, getting a good management team. But if you run the risk of your payroll running, let's use NHL numbers, 90 million, 100 million, 110 million, then whatever you're taking in the front door is going out the back door. This model, this CBA, is the back door is closed.
Right.
So I think, you know, never rubbing shoulders with billionaires, I would think that's the attraction here.
But here's the other thing, if there wasn't a commitment needed to build a downtown arena, if there wasn't that memorandum with the National Capital Commission to build a new downtown arena, would there be this interest? Would there be this amount? Because, I mean, Kevin, one of the great things about Boston is the garden, whatever variation of the garden there is, has always been accessible in downtown. Yep. The North End, and it's revitalized the North End. It's done a great job there, that and the Big Dig. You know, I was in Cleveland on the weekend. Three stadiums downtown have done an amazing job of trying to helping revitalize downtown Cleveland. Everywhere we go, Edmonton, what they've done with Ice District has been fantastic. So, but if they're forced to continue to play in Canada, Bruce, would there be this interest?
No chance. And I think that, you know, you brought them up, so we should talk about them. I think that that's one of the things that intrigues Ryan Reynolds, John. I think he looks at the opportunity here. I haven't gotten a chance to watch it, but I do plan to watch Welcome to Wrexham because
it's a great series. All 16 episodes are great.
Yeah, and I think Ryan Reynolds sees this as an opportunity to do a welcome to Ottawa kind of new rink series here. He will have his company. Maximum effort involved. He has ties to the community. One thing that Reynolds is doing right now is he's interviewing potential owners. I believe he's met with Michael Andlauer. I believe he's met with Jeffrey and Michael Kimmel. I think initially, I'm not sure that Andre Desmarais wanted anything to do with Ryan Reynolds, but I think that He's been convinced to do otherwise. I think that the Pauletta family in Hamilton has spoken to Reynolds. Mm-hmm. And I think Reynolds is doing like Daniel Alfredson. Teams have reached out to Daniel Alfredson. Daniel Alfredson isn't doing the same discussions. But what Reynolds is going to do is he's going to wait to see who gets this thing. And once somebody gets in a position where they're going to purchase this team, then he'll join their group. I think right now he's sitting back, looking at it all, seeing how much he wants to be involved, to what percentage, and then go from there.
Let me ask you guys, what is Reynolds' asset in the ownership of this team? Is there any?
His asset is his brand, Bob. He's a great brand right now.
I don't know what that means.
It means that people, and if you do watch the soccer series, and it's on FX in the United States and Crave on Canada. If you do watch the soccer series, so many people are just enlightened with Ryan Reynolds being involved that they feel better about the scenario. He's not going to put more than, I mean, he's only probably worth $150 to $200 million anyway. So he doesn't have the money himself, yeah. If that. So he's going to put, between $10 and $20 million in, if that. But he's going to put a ton of equity of his own brand in to change things. And every franchise wants to feel good about itself, right, Kevin? I mean, Ryan Reynolds could help the Boston Bruins right now.
Yeah, yeah. Jeremy Jacobs never subscribed to that theory.
No, but he had enough money. But he had enough money, though.
How? What? Exactly. Well, in fact, he bought the team for nothing, literally nothing. So those were the mid-70s. He basically took over some debt, got the concession stands, got all the property that ended up a multi-million, billion-dollar enterprise because of the big dig that you just mentioned. So what I would see him is, yes, he's going to – many investors, as we know, get attracted to these franchises because they see that it's sexy. They're going to see their name in – this matters to some people. See their name in print. See their name on multimedia platforms. So I think there's that attraction anyway, and then he's more of a sweetener because of whatever Hollywood element – that brings. What I will say about the whole downtown is take a half a step back because you brought it up, John. There is absolutely nothing better than downtown arenas. It's just it gives the whole experience a different atmosphere in terms of emotion, people, electricity, if you will, around the event. And it also has to be in the right. I'm trying to dial this correctly. That it's a great arena in downtown Nashville, okay? They're downtown. You walk over and you can drink all night. And you can sing and strum your banjo and open your own still and all of that, right? However.
You speak Nashville, from experience.
Yeah, well, so I've heard. Where was I going? Oh, what does Nashville not have? And this is a big problem right now. It doesn't have mass transit. Doesn't have a subway.
Right.
They put it up for vote 4 or 5 years ago and it went nowhere because nobody wanted to pay the property tax. So it's great to have a downtown arena. You've got to have the transportation infrastructure to support it. So if you're counting on only 41 dates at this plush new arena downtown, you're already stressed from an economic sense because that means you've got 320 dark dates. What are the other events you're going to put in it? And then how do you get asses in seats?
Yeah.
Well, if everybody's driving to downtown Ottawa as the 5 o'clock traffic's heading out and the 7 o'clock traffic's heading in. So I don't know what their transportation infrastructure is.
We do have a light rail transit that's going to expand to the east and west end. And it is now, it's been a disaster, but we have a new mayor. And the hope is that, let's say if this rink opened in 2026, by that point, the transit will extend from one end of the city to the other. And also from the airport, you would actually be able to take it downtown if you were staying downtown.
Right.
So that's why it's so attractive, too, is that there's two transit stops within a 4-minute walk of where this new arena is going to be built. So That is a massive, massive plus. And John, you brought up the Edmonton Ice District. That's what they want to model this after. That's exactly what they want to model it after is the Ice District in Edmonton.
Well, and Ice District in Edmonton was designed after what happened at the then Staples Center, LA Live. Right. Yeah. Everything and MLSE and what they did at Maple Leaf Square was designed after LA Live. Everything is designed around creating more than just an arena, but creating an experience for people to enjoy the evening. And that will apparently enhance revenues too. It's amazing how that works.
Just out of interest, because I have no idea, what is the population of Ottawa?
It's a million, just over a million.
Yeah. And does that include Gatineau or no?
No, that doesn't include Gatineau.
And how many people in Gatineau?
Oh, I'm not sure, but I do know that they will be within close proximity of Gatineau. And you know, my friends at Le Droit, the French newspaper here, tell me that they haven't done enough on the Quebec side to bring people over. So that's one of the things the new owners are going to have to do is work harder on getting people. I don't know what is, and I live here too, and there's just something about, you really don't want to cross that bridge unless you have to. And I don't know why that is. And I think people in Gatineau feel the same way as me. Now, I do cross the bridge because I live near it, and the beer is a hell of a lot cheaper over there. So, you know, if you can get 60 cans of beer for $60, you're driving over.
Beer, beer's cheaper, and there's a casino there too, right?
That's a pretty good
casino in Gatineau, so.
Well, I haven't bought the beer, but I've been to the casino, so whatever that means. We want to get to some other things around the National Hockey League. Are we done with the Ottawa sale?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's how. Oh, and just one more timeline, Bruce. What do you think?
Well, I think by with the books opening today, I would think by mid-January, we'll know who's going to own this team. But one thing I do want to know, John, from you is what role will Bettman play in this? Because really,
are you kidding me?
Like he holds the hammer, doesn't he?
Sure, he does.
Yeah,
and I think that this is as a good a scenario as you can have for the commissioner and how he manages situations. You know, he's probably, since Eugene passed, he has probably worked diligently with the daughters to figure out what is best for the franchise. He's done it discreetly. He has done it in a manner that is not overbearing. He has probably made the two young women feel very welcome. This is his strength as a manager. This is his strength as a business leader. In the end, he will have made it look like their idea. And then he will sit back and counsel them on what is right and best for what's going on. Sure, they have that board there, the three-man board that is supposed to run the situation, business and hockey side. But in the end, the new offices in New York are in Hudson Yards. Everything will run through Hudson Yards in order to make sure that everybody gets looked after at some point. And I'll tell you what, the two girls will get looked after, Bruce. He will make sure that they are treated fairly and they will be treated professionally and be involved in the organization as long as they want to be involved.
Well, and the indication to me is, you know, guys, they do want to retain a legacy piece, whether that's 5% or 10%, whatever that is. And one of the good things I think Eugene did, you know, knowing that he had a lot of time left than he thought, was he did bring back his longtime CFO, Aaron Crow, to manage the situation. And Aaron Crow has carried this organization through a lot of rough waters, and having her and Anthony LeBlanc in that front office, I think has certainly stabilized the situation here.
The other thing I would add is, when you talk about mid-January, let's remember there will be a Board of Governors meeting at the All-Star game. And you know, lots of things happen at Board of Governors meetings, and whether that's you meet the owners or you get vetted by the executive committee. So to me, the target date, and this is just my opinion, not what I've heard, is The All-Star game in Florida sounds like a pretty logical date for something to get further situated.
Well, thank you. I'll book my trip to Florida now.
I just have to add one thing here. I agree with much of what John is saying about Gary Bettman and the Brain Trust and the Board of Governors. This is the same group that now has the Arizona Coyotes playing in a 5,000-seat college arena. So there can be missteps. It's not as always as streamlined as we might like it to be or think it can be. That to me right now is an abomination.
Well, that has been an abomination since nearly the beginning.
And see this,
I don't understand. I can't for the life of me understand why he is so set on having Arizona where it is.
The Tempe City Council voted 7-0, yesterday for the next step in the new arena. So guys, it's going to happen if now they have to have a referendum next May. But they're closer than they've ever been to having a new arena from the last new arena.
Right. And in some regards, they were best off in their original arena down there.
Yeah. Well, not really. Not really.
No, but I mean the arena was basically a hockey pig. It was in terms of where it was, what it was, all of that.
You mean the basketball arena, the original one?
Yes.
It was downtown,
US
right?
Air Arena or whatever. What I'm saying is
location, location, location.
Yes.
And now it's been this nomadic franchise that's now in a college town, and everything we just talked about, Ottawa and locations, Kanata, downtown, flats, wherever. They'll put up, let's say they spend $687 million now on the new arena. We're going to sit here and say, gee, I wonder if it's going to work. I don't know.
The Arizona situation has always been a puzzlement to me. I don't know why he is the way he is with Arizona, but
number 10 TV market. That's why.
And population. It's population. People were saying this when the LA Kings opened up, right? But what's it doing in LA?
That's the famous Jack Kent Cook line, right? Jack Kent Cook, the boy from Toronto, said, now we're drawing 5,000 people, and they say there's 800,000 Canadians living in Southern California. Why aren't we successful? Because they all hate hockey.
we got to take a break. We'll come back in a minute. Gary Ock and DuPont are with us back after this.
And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. These days, more athletes are speaking out about the importance of mental health. But you don't have to be in the pros to take care of your mental well-being and being focused and in the zone. Therapy is the best way to stay in peak mental shape. We've all seen firsthand the benefits of unloading the stress, of working through the emotional healing and dealing with anxiety and depression. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, and online. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey, and you can switch therapists at any time. When you're ready to feel at the top of your game, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Bobcast today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Bobcast.
All right, some general hockey. For you, we are with two guys who are in two markets. One is probably the best team in the NHL right now. The other is probably the worst team in the NHL, or one of them. Let's start a little bit with DuPont and the Bruins. Has your surprise been mitigated by the length of this great run? Are you starting to get used to it? Does this seem like more of a normal thing, DuPont?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's certainly normal at home, and I guess what I will say is it's no fluke. Everything that could go right has gone right. The number one and two centers, and Bergeron and Krejci, have played right up to billing. There's a caveat on that, which is they're both 36, 37 years old. We'll see how that plays out over 82 games. I was told Jim Montgomery by another executive, the Eastern franchise, that the guy was a genius. I wondered about that. So far, he's a genius, right? Yeah. Every move has been right. He's I'm not even going to say he's not the anti Bruce Cassidy. He's good in terms of media relationship.
He's learning.
He is learning, and it isn't dragging and kicking. He's very terse. That's his nature. And you have to follow up that question with the next question and the next question, and you do, and he answers it. He doesn't, right. You don't get any attitude. So that's good. Not that that matters to the fans. Omar has been tremendous. He's been healthy. Frankly, he hasn't been that different than he was last year. The key difference that I see, not in style, is there were, I don't know, 6 or 8 games last year where they'd move ahead by a goal or they'd get the tying goal. And within, I don't know, 15, 25, 30 seconds, boop, tying goal, go ahead right. goal. So he's eliminated that. Lindholm has been, we didn't see much of Lindholm because he got dinged in game 2 against Carolina. Boy, he's good. He's yeah. clean, smart. The way I'm looking at Lindholm and McAvoy now are they're sort of the Bergeron Krejci for going forward. Obviously, they're not going to go forward much longer with Bergeron and Krejci. So where's the franchise built going forward? It's on those two defensemen and the goalie. So in quick summation, it's all gone right. It's fun to watch. They play with pace. That's not different from every coach in the NHL. But they play with pace and they play intelligently. And that's not true of everybody. I think it's easier to play with pace and intelligently when you've got smart personnel out there. And he does. And that's a product of good GMing. He's got good players in that sense. You see young teams try to do it and they'll do it in, they'll do it for 18 minutes in the first period. And then all goes to holy hell because they're not playing smart. They're playing just off speed.
Isn't that the story in Ottawa, Bruce?
Well, yeah. And I just one thing on the Bruins, I think that people wrote them off because of the injuries they had, right? You know, people looked at, you know, they're going to start this. You're right. They're going to start the season with Marchand, McAvoy. Like it was going to be a tough start for them.
Injuries and age.
Yeah.
I do think you have to marvel at Patrice Bergeron. I really do. I think you have to marvel that David Krejci has been able to come back after a year of, I would describe, quiet hockey in Europe.
Yeah.
Because Triple he didn't A. play, you know, I mean, he's, you know, but he's come back healthy. I mean, how many years, Kevin, when you covered this team was, well, Krejci's on the IR again. I mean, there was always a Krejci injury. And he's come back healthy and he's playing better. But to me, that's, you know, I was one of those guys that said if there's anybody going to drop out of the Eastern Conference, it was going to be Washington and Boston and Ottawa and somebody else was going to move up. And it's been the exact opposite. It hasn't worked out at all, right? Has it?
No, it hasn't. Well, in that prognostication business, the only one I got half right was Jersey. And I didn't see Jersey with 38 points, but I thought Jersey would be in that wild card mix or pushing for a number.
Did you really? Yeah.
Yeah, I did because they've got a lot of good young players. I wasn't convinced Lindy Ruff was the guy, but again, wrong on that one. But it's I thought they'd be in it. I thought the Bruins would be where they were last year with 100 and whatever point team, 107. They were a 7 or 8 seed. I thought
you did.
Thought they could be in that 7-8 mix. Yes. I didn't see them running off with a record 13 straight home wins.
You know, the guys on TNT last night were joking, Kevin, the Bruins have not lost at home yet, which is amazing. And they're doing the outdoor game at Fenway, I think January 1st or 2nd.
Second.
And will the Bruins have lost a home game by then yet? I mean, it's very possible and if they lose it, if they lose the outdoor game, they still won't have lost it at TD Garden. So
right, so they'll have to put a Roger Maris asterisk on it.
That's right.
Meanwhile, in Ottawa, there is continued rumbling about the possibility of a new coach. What do you think, Gariak? Is that going to happen?
I don't think so, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm not sure that coaching is the issue here. You know, I think them losing their number one center, Josh Norris, certainly did not help matters. And I think, you know, defensively, they didn't get a top four defenseman. And, you know, that was one of the things that they were hoping to do in the offseason was get a top four defenseman. They weren't able to get one. They weren't able to find one. They hoped that the answers could come from within. I think that, look, take nothing away from Jake Sanderson, the young rookie. He's been excellent. I think there have been times where Travis Hamonic has struggled mightily in that role. And Thomas Chabot and Artem Zub at various times have missed lengthy periods of time. And Chabot started off the season struggling. He's been better now. But I think, and the other thing is, their goaltending has not been good. Right. Anton Forsberg has not played the way he played last season. And Cam Talbot has shown flashes of brilliance, but he, like everybody else, is struggling with consistency. And quite frankly, with the team for sale, if they did make a coaching change, nobody from the outside is coming in. So if you thought coaching was a problem and you did make a coaching change here, I think you're just moving the furniture around.
The one thing, Bruce, that has impressed me is that the players have really tried to protect DJ. They have really tried to say that it's not his fault. Is that fair?
Yeah, and I don't think it is. I think that they look at the way they're playing and they're not playing up to their capabilities. I like Alex DeBrincat. I think, but he's not here to score six goals in 22 games. You know, he's got six goals in 22 games. He might have a lot of points. I think he's got 20 points in 22 games, but they didn't bring him here to score six goals. At this point, he's got to have 15, and they brought him to score 40, 45 goals, and he is not on pace for that, guys.
Do you have a feeling that the Ottawa Senators are a better team than what they've shown record-wise?
Oh, I think they are. I think they are. I don't think, let's put it this way, I don't think they're as good as we thought they were coming into the season, but I don't think they're this bad either. I don't think they should, you know, they walked into Anaheim last week and I was there and they kicked the hell out of the Ducks. And the Ducks, they were both, it was a basement bowl. They're both tied with 15 points. And I thought what they showed in that situation was the way they kind of just took down the Ducks. I thought, okay, they don't belong at the best. They're not the best team in the league, but they don't belong at the bottom of the standings either. They're probably somewhere in that mushy middle, you know?
Mm-hmm. But you those three teams in that Atlantic division that we all thought were on the come were, you know, Buffalo, Detroit, and Ottawa. And I think a lot of people thought Ottawa was ahead of both of the other teams.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that has not happened.
Present company included.
You know, and I think that, you know, the frustration you see in the fan base is, I think it's legitimate. Don't you, Bruce?
Yeah, but I also think you're in a different situation now with the team officially for sale. And
but do you think the fans care about that, honestly?
No, they probably don't care, but I think it probably, given the situation they're in, limits what they can do. And I don't know this. Can they take on a long-term contract this juncture? I don't know. Could they sign Alex DeBrincat to an 8-year deal at this point with the team for sale? I don't know. Does the new owner want to get into that kind of commitment? There's been a lot of talk here about, you know, going to get Barry Trotz. Okay. Well, what if you go get Barry Trotz and the new owner comes in and says to the old owners, well, you're on the hook for the $25 million that's owed to Barry Trotz. So,
by the way, if I had a nickel for every team that was on the hook looking for Barry Trotz, he hasn't even started the tour yet, has he, Kevin?
I know. And I don't think that firing DJ Smith is the answer.
Yeah.
I think the answers have to come from within. Go ahead, Kevin. Sorry.
No. I was going to say Barry Trotz and what goaltender? That's the bigger issue in my mind. And you know what? As you were talking, Bruce, I was thinking the only way you excite this sounds kind of crazy, but I think you'll know where I'm coming from. The only way you get the fan base excited now is winning, right?
Yeah.
It's as basic as that sounds, but let's not forget, we were all watching the league when there was another way. You could put three sluggos in the lineup and get people to come to the game just by beating on people. You could lose by 5 goals. No. People would still come through the door because they know there'd be fights. That part of the circus doesn't exist anymore.
Hold on.
I'm not saying it should.
Did you watch the Islanders Philadelphia?
Yeah.
did you watch? And with all the discussion through the whole day, by the way, Ross Johnson's in the lineup. John Tortorella's team has not won very many games of late, and right. And he's trying to build something, and it's Philadelphia. There's something in the DNA that might Absolutely. Force them to be that way, Kevin.
And it's in the fan base DNA. There's still enough. Right. There's still enough in that whatever Philadelphia is, 2 million, 3 million metropolis, that you'll get enough of that. But by and large, in the 32 team league, John,
no, I know.
You're going to get you might get one team that tries it, and it will go nowhere. But when it was 12 teams, 18 teams, 21 teams, you know, the original 21, there was still that element that even lowly Quebec at the time, when Bruins would go in there, and they both had their fighters, right? I mean, there was that electricity in it. Now, if frankly, you don't have the goalie, you got nothing.
Yeah. Fascinating you say that, because the two teams in our country that people say, you know, do they have enough toughness? The Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers. Both teams are electric offensively, but you know, and both fan bases are asking the same question. Yeah, but when do they get to the playoffs? Can they play with that edge? Can they play tough? Because there's still something to be said for that when it comes to the playoffs.
There is. And I think, you know, to half step back on the Bruins element, that is a lingering question with the Bruins. If they will have now, if you're just beating on people on the scoreboard, that's a different issue. But they lost Kevin Miller a couple of years ago because of his knee, and right. He was the guy back there. They had Chara at the same time. But when you've got at least one guy in the lineup that the other team says, you know, we can only push the nonsense so far here. There's going to be some back and forth retribution or whatever. You do have to have some of that, but the old days, that's not coming back. And I know we can talk endlessly about whether that's good or bad.
Did Colorado have that element though? Right. Like,
I'll tell you what, the difference with Colorado in my mind was,
Cale Makar.
Well, Cale Makar, but Nathan MacKinnon's a locomotive.
Yeah.
Nathan MacKinnon, he was Eric Lindros. He changed so much because he can be physical just by going straight north south. I mean, and you know, with the skills that he has, he can run right through you. And then you add Makar and Taves and all those guys in the system there, but their toughness was one that was done by their elite players. Mikko Rantanen is a giant. I mean, they're a big team, and that's why they won, because they would just roll right over.
And
Gabriel Landeskog, who, yeah, that's right. And then your second line center was Nazem Kadri, who had that edge too.
Yeah.
So the answer was they weren't fighters, but they did have modern day toughness in order to win the Stanley Cup. I think.
Well, bringing it back to Philadelphia, which started this discussion or this level of this discussion, do you think Tortorella is really trying to bring back that, you know, 70s, 80s kind of hockey? Or is he just trying anything because his team is losing?
The latter. I think he's still trying to redefine what his team is. And I think he's still trying to learn, and he's trying to teach his team what it's all about and to be a team. And that's Tortorella's strength, is trying to make sure that without, you know, the metaphors getting too superfluous, is, you know, you're going into battle. Are you prepared to fight? You know, and that's Tortorella to a T. You know John Tortorella, Kevin. You know what he's like. You know what he thinks. I mean, he's a Boston boy.
Yeah, he's been quite blunt and quite public about saying that he doesn't have anything in the lineup. I mean, that's my poor paraphrasing of what he has said. So what happened? What are your alternatives? Your alternatives are, I guess, to try to find that little red switch at the side of the furnace that, that does spark some emotion out of these guys, right? It's not working. I'll flip this thing a million times. I think he's flipped it enough to know it ain't going to start. So, yeah, will that carry through in today? It won't. We know it won't. It won't. Unless in his head, and I don't know their roster well enough, I don't know the personalities within their roster well enough to know, is he doing this because it's going to kind of show up the three guys in that lineup that do bring, give him some hope? And that they'll finally play with some spirit, some moxie here, and that, and we know two or three good players playing up can bring a whole lot of guys with them. Not going to change their talent level, but it can get something perking.
You know, that modern day guy that we're talking about is supposed to do all that is the captain of the Ottawa Senators. He's supposed to, you know, he's supposed to have that amount of skill, and he's supposed to be that tough and supposed to have that edge. And that's Brady Tkachuk, right?
Yeah. And he plays with that edge, and he tries to lead his team into battle every night, but unfortunately they don't always follow. Right.
We only got a few minutes left, but I did want to make mention of something that we've all kind of sat, or we have at least sat on and not said much about. And that is the performance of Seattle already this year. This is the most surprising story to me in the National Hockey League. This was not supposed to be this way, and it's a long way to go, but Seattle is playing really, really well, and they're right on Vegas's tail in the West. You want to throw 2 cents in, both of you, on why you think this team is as good as they are, or are they that good? Is it just a run?
Have you seen him, Bruce? I haven't seen him up front.
I've watched him a couple times. I think I find it shocking because you could look at their roster and say, name a Kraken. And they've gotten good goaltending. I think they play smart. And they've gotten to me timely scoring. But I absolutely. Totally shocked with where they're at this point. That now, I guess the question is, can they stay there, right? And are they going to level out?
Yeah, they've certainly got enough youth to carry through, right? They shouldn't sort of grow old on the vine because they've got three old guys leading them. The Beniers kid is really good.
Yeah.
And he's the top rookie scorer right now in the league, so that helps a lot. But you know, they've got a number of, if you will, Ryan Donatos in there.
And, yes, they do.
that shouldn't play. But
in many ways, they're like year two in Seattle is like year one in Vegas.
Very much.
You know, when you think about a lot of those guys, underachieved where they were. Jordan Eberle, you know, Adam Larson didn't. He chose to go there as a free agent. But there's a lot of those forwards that, you know, were hurt when they got picked up in the expansion draft, and now they have enough around them they can prove that they can belong in the NHL.
Well, both Edmonton and Calgary, I think, are slight, at least, disappointments. Calgary maybe a big disappointment so far. We'll see whether they can catch Seattle.
If we're talking about surprises in the league, we better mention the Winnipeg Jets, because they have been fantastic. Yep. And Rick Bowness, a guy that both of you guys know well, has done a really good job.
Yep. And like Bruins, excellent at home. They've been terrific on their home ice.
And went in there and made a gutsy move by changing the coach. Or pardon me, changing the captain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. I
mean, that was a gutsy move.
Derek Dupont, we will let you go. We thank you very much for your contribution. And we'll call on you again down the road sometime. Thanks, boys.
Great, guys. Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment.
The world's greatest sporting event only rolls around every 4 years, and every 4 years, everyone becomes a soccer fan. That's right, billions of eyes are about to fall upon 32 nations battling it out for soccer supremacy. The Men in Blazers podcast will once again be your guide to every incredible goal, every heartbreaking defeat, and every moment of human triumph. This is America's number one soccer podcast, bringing you expert analysis of every U.S. men's national game and exclusive interviews from a slew of athletes and celebrity guests all month long. This is what the world will be talking about. This is the one podcast that makes soccer fun and entertaining for everyone. Follow Men in Blazers on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or listen early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
Well, our thanks to Bruce Garriock and Kevin Paul DuPont for joining us. As we are recording this, Canada has just lost to Morocco 2-1. They end their World Cup experience this year with no victories, two goals, although the one today was an own goal, really.
No, but I tell you what, second half, though, second half, Bob, you know, as John Herdman would describe it, is they played on their front foot. They were aggressive. The Moroccans, you know, sat back, and Canada kept going and going, and we just couldn't finish. One off the crossbar that hit the goal line by Hutchison, who's probably played his last game for Canada at this level. You know, disappointing still. I know these are growing pains for this program, and we're all pointed to 2026, but I can't lie. After we beat the Mexicans and the Americans in the qualifying, I thought we were going to make a bigger dent than we did.
Well, I think the reality is that they didn't get any help in the draw. The draw was a tough draw. Let's be honest. There was no, sure. I mean, Canada was looking at,
like, it was the fourth best team in the draw. Yeah, that's right. They were the fourth best team.
And, but unless I'm mistaken, aren't both Mexico and the U.S. through?
I know the Mexicans did not get through. Americans did.
So you have to be a little bit disappointed because they, of course, beat the Americans in the run up to it.
Well, that's kind of my point. But you know what? It will be the what happens with what's gone on. Did Herdman learn anything? What did Canadian soccer learn about being at the World Cup? There'll be some interesting discussions about this. By the way, we'll have Sharman on tomorrow to do a breakdown of things like that. So,
well, we'll do that because, I mean, I think it was defense that hurt this team the most. But I'm not sure it was defensive play that hurt them the most. Maybe it was defensive strategy that hurt them the most.
Yeah, but there are a couple of guys that made a difference. You know, I mean, Miller, Johnston, you know, and you wonder now how much pressure on a guy like Davies, who where was his game through this whole tournament? There's lots of discussion, but Canada has turned into a soccer country now, and I think that we're going to be a soccer country for the next time, particularly with the World Cup moving to 48 teams.
Herdman has said he wants to stay in Canada and be the coach in 26. Are you buying that?
Yes. Yeah, but I'm buying anything Herdman sells right now. I'm a believer in John Herdman.
I'm not suggesting it's going to happen, but what if a Premier League team, for example, offered him a head coaching job?
Here's the interesting thing about that is that all these clubs are watching what went on in Qatar.
Of course.
With what John did, with what John said, did that hurt him or help him in that world?
I think the World Cup hurt him.
So do I. And I think he's one of those guys. I believe he's committed. I think he said he's committed. And I think now we're talking unfinished business. And the finished business is we scored goals this time around. Next time is we win games. We have to win games. And I think he's committed to that.
Well, I think he's not too old to wait.
It's a pretty good life. It's a pretty good life too, Bob.
I assume he's got a pretty good life.
Sure.
You know, he doesn't have the stress of playing every week. Over the course of a year, of having fans who are unhappy.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get better as a country. But my expectations are going to be even higher 4 years from now than they are this year. And my expectations were high.
Soccer tomorrow?
Little soccer, little hockey.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll be here for that. Thanks for watching or listening. Good. Good. For Shannon McCowan. We'll see
you tomorrow. Put a log on the fire, Bob. Put a log on the fire.
Good luck.